all of this and much more is locked up in what we shall cover in our classes to come. And now, I have 428. Can I have somebody read the questions, please?
Call to action includes, among its 12,000 members, at least 6 bishops and 5,000 priests and nuns. Bishop Diarchi is joining such prelates as Bishop Fabian Brushkowitz of Lincoln, Nebraska, Archbishop Eldon F. Curtis of Omaha, Archbishop Daniel Cronin of Hartford, and Bishop John R. Keating of Arlington, who have all taken one form of action or another against call to action in their diocese. Should we write to Cardinal Maida to stop call to action from using church property to canon laws cite the responsibility of the cardinal in the use of church property for promoting heresy and dissension from Christ's teachings?
Well, I would say certainly the faithful are free to write to Cardinal Maida along the lines just described.
What is the name of the high school text you wrote with all Catholic literature, and can it be bought anywhere?
What is the name of the... See, what I was involved was, I was involved with an elementary school text. It was a Christ Our Life series.
Christ Our Life.
Published by Loyola University Press. As I may have told at least some of you, it was the first, I believe, thoroughly orthodox textbook for Catholic schools after the Second Vatican Council. I recommended this to the Sisters of Notre Dame who taught me in Cleveland. They agreed. I convinced Loyola University Press to invest $1 million in publishing the series. When the first edition was finished, the sales that year were 600,000 copies. But the sisters decided to revise the first edition. I was not so happy with the revision, but I worked with them to ensure, as far as I could, of orthodoxy. By the third edition, I could no longer cooperate with the sisters. Third edition is widely used throughout the country, but I am separated from the series.
Has there been any change in the Church's stand on Masonry since Pope Leo's encyclical, Freemasonry?
No. I did tell you, didn't I, about my own role during the Second Vatican Council? Did I tell you about that? Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time, but the Holy See appointed a bishop and yours truly to work with the Freemasons throughout the world. We spent a year investigating Freemason in depth. All the chief Freemasons in all the major countries were contacted and were told how serious is this matter. Holy Father hoped that the Church could lift the excommunication threat against the Freemasons. A year's correspondence, we received all their documentation, closed with an 8-hour meeting on the Freemasons flew in from Asia, from Europe, South America. We met from 9 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon in the Pittsburgh airport. Holy Father told us to address the Freemasons with 11 questions. The bottom line was, can Freemasonry be said not to be anti-Catholic? after years of research and close interchange of correspondence, after the 8 hour behind closed door meeting, the conclusion be reached and to so report back to the Holy Father. Freemasonry is, on principle, anti-Catholic. And therefore the excommunication remains.
Please explain the Catholic Church teaching on evolution.
Well, we depend on especially Pope Pius XII's teaching. There is, call it generic evolution, which means that everything in the world is still in the process of evolution, not excluding God Himself. Another name for an evolving God is process theology. And the largest publisher of English books in process theology is the Paulus Press in the East. God Himself is still evolving. It is to say, that is rank, unqualified heresy. There is, however, and I think that's maybe behind the question, what we call anthropological evolution. The evolving of the human body from a lower species. First of all, anthropological evolution is sheer theory. With my doctoral studies in science, I know science very well. I repeat, anthropological evolution is pure theory. Could a Catholic, however, subscribe to anthropological evolution? Could he? Yes, under certain conditions. Provided, first of all, that the evolutionary process ended with one man, and not a large scale of evolution of human bodies, one man. Secondly, that God specially directed that process by His extraordinary, call it miraculous process. Thirdly, that the source, as in the parents of the first man, were not animals. And fourth, that the first man's soul had to be immediately created by God out of nothing. Even as your souls and mine, at the moment of conception in mother's womb, the soul must be created directly by God. So, if the theory would be held, he must hold that Adam's soul was directly and immediately created out of nothing by God.
Do you have any of those copies of the Catholic high school literature texts?
Yes, I do have a set. And I also, by the way, have the legal rights to using those, that material, for, well, republication. So the question would let me know, see what can be done.
So many faithful Catholics seem to be moving to the fringes, questioning the Holy Father, claiming to be traditionalist, rejecting the Novus Ordo and Vatican II. It seems bitterness is pushing them into heresy. What can we do?
Now first, pray for those people and pray for yourself, because we are living in trying times. The Holy Father is not a traditionalist. And hear it, I'm sure you've heard this before. The vernacular of the liturgy was never mandated by the Second Vatican Council. The vernacular in the liturgy was, I have to use the verb, coerced by hundreds of members of the hierarchy on Pope all the six. Holy Father loves the Latin Mass. And consequently, we must, shall I say, use our heads. There's value in the vernacular. But of course, both the sacramentary and the lectionary need to be revised so that we have, well, if it's to be in the vernacular, what the Latin text says. I think I've told at least some of you. Pope Paul VI issued a formal document declaring that what the vernacular says in, say, the sacramentary, or the administration of the sacraments. No matter what the vernacular says, the meaning is never, hear it, never that of the vernacular. The meaning is always that of the original Latin.
Father Hardin, why did the Oriental Orthodox, also known as Monosophite churches, not accept the Council of Chalcedon? Is there much reason to hope that all the ancient churches, including Oriental Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and Roman Catholic, will be one?
Well, I would say the break of the Eastern churches with Rome was not over dogma. The break of the Eastern churches with Rome over the centuries has been mainly two reasons. They have wanted the right for married people to divorce and remarry. Reason number one. Secondly, they wanted and want a married priesthood. So they rejected the authority of the Roman pontiff because they could not get what they asked for.
What is the title of your English literature series, and where is it available?
Faced with a question by next 3rd of November, I will find out. And I presume it's out of print, but I will find out what the name of the series is. I think Singer and Company was a publisher. It's a 4-volume series. Thoroughly Catholic, either Catholic writers or those who express what is good Christian doctrine.
Could you call this good priest to encourage him? The Diocese of Mobile Al is about to kick him out. And his name is here.
His phone number is here. I will call him up.
Recently, I was in Virginia for a family wedding. There was a nuptial mass that Saturday. Most of my relatives didn't go to Sunday mass, claiming traveler's dispensation. Is there such a thing? Please explain.
Well, I keep increasing my vocabulary. No.
As Halloween is celebrated today, what is violated as far as Bible and the church teaching is concerned? How we show these violations from the Bible?
That's in celebrating Halloween?
Yes,
Father. Well, am I correct? Was there a radio broadcast today? I think when I spoke in Ann Arbor on Halloween, somebody got a copy of the lecture that I gave. It was being, I think, broadcast today over some station. But basically, the word Halloween literally means the vigil of all saints. The Een means evening. Hallow means saint. So it means vigil of all saints. That's the birthday of Protestantism. However, Halloween had been celebrated by the pagans to commemorate, Israel, the fall harvest, as an act of, idolatrous worship of the god or gods of the harvest. So behind Halloween is a pagan custom. And so many of the things, the pranks, whatever you want to call them, Halloween, go back to pre-Protestant paganism.
Did the English language pose a problem for English Catholic writers like Cardinal Newman or Belloc or Chesterton?
Well, it didn't exactly pose a problem because they used the language in such a way that they brought out Catholic teaching. And this is one reason. I really have never said this publicly before. There are at least 5 major reasons why for years, my first article I published in 1939, over these years I've been writing and publishing. One reason has been to Catholicize the English language. Like Belloc, Chesterton, Newman, knowing the Catholic faith, when they wrote, they used their words in a Catholic sense. And consequently, if the words are ambiguous, they would use them accurately and thus protect their readers from getting their own interpretation.
What is the difference in the action or presence of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost as opposed to before?
Well, Pentecost is called the second sending from the Holy Trinity. The first was the incarnation. The second was the coming of the Holy Spirit. With the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, those who were baptized received strength to profess their faith, which, unless the Holy Spirit had come, they would not have had the strength to profess, both by their lives and by their propagation of the faith in Jesus Christ. So what happened on Pentecost, they received strength. But watch it. We commonly associate strength with the will. Of course, it's in the will. But the primary strength received in confirmation, which is our Pentecost, is for the mind. The mind. And the deepest strength of the mind is understanding what you believe. So much so that I tell people, only those who understand what they believe have the courage to live their faith. Everyone else is a coward.
What do you think of Gandhi? Do you think he helped his people by his example?
Can you speak of?
Gandhi.
Gandhi. Well, having taught my Jesuits from India over the years, having worked with the missionaries of Charity now for 20 years, I know a lot about Gandhi. Gandhi was the one who made sure the Indian constitutions would forbid Christians from evangelizing India. For some 15 years, my Jesuit confreres tried, as they told me, in so many ways to convert Gandhi to Christianity. He was an intellectual of the highest order, but a true-blooded Hindu. For him, the human mind can never can never arrive at the truth. Philosophically, Gandhi did not believe human mind can know the truth. All we can do is search for the truth.
Pope Gregory XII voluntarily resigned from the Western Schism to permit the election of his successor in 1415. Why did it take so long for his successor, Pope Martin V, to take over on November 11, 1417?
Well, because they first had to call a council. And Martin V was elected. But listen to this. When Martin V was elected, the same council that elected him as Pope was the one that, prior to his election, passed the following decree. A general council is superior in authority to the Pope. So Martin V told the very bishops who elected him, "My dear fellow bishops, I am sorry to say, you may be Pope, thanks, but you must remove that statement. Otherwise, I will excommunicate you." Thank God, the bishops have the humility. It took some time for the bishops to give in.
Father, why do most Bible translations use the Hebrew for the Old Testament when the Greek Septuagint was the text used by the fathers? Which is considered most authentic, the Hebrew or the Septuagint?
The Septuagint. The Septuagint, first of all, was done, as you know, a couple of hundred years before the coming of Christ. The Septuagint is also the text which the New Testament uses when it quotes from the Old Testament. Finally, by the year 90 A.D., after the destruction of Jerusalem, Judaism was wiped out. There is no historic Judaism in the world. Do you hear me? Does not exist. What is called Judaism is Pharisaism. And the Pharisees then, in the year 90, called the Sanhedrin. And they were the ones who decided to discard the Septuagint. And then they proceeded to rewrite their own Old Testament. Of course, minus the seven books, which the Christians recognize as part of the Old Testament. And the poor Protestants, they follow the Jewish procedure. As Luther says, who better than the Jews knows what belongs to the Old Testament? And Luther's great rejection of the papacy. We don't need a pope to tell us what belongs to the Old Testament. We follow the Jews. And the Pharisees then made sure of all kinds of passages in the Old Testament that would be favorable to Christianity, like the famous chapter 7, verse 14 of Isaiah. You won't find anywhere in a Jewish Bible that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. It's always a young woman will conceive.
My son's Catholic school class will be attending the Phantom of the Opera at the Masonic Temple this week. They will be ushers, What are your comments? Is it wrong to support the Masonic Temple this way?
Well, I wouldn't do it. So, now, having said that, and over the years in teaching moral theology, I've told my students, when somebody is in error, and you know it, use your judgment. If by correcting the error, you have some reasonable assurance that your advice will be taken, then give the advice. If the likelihood is you give the advice and they will ignore the advice, then it might be wiser not to give the advice, because then the people will know you having told them it's wrong. Thanks for the question.
What do you think of the Jesuit author, Father John McKenzie, and his works?
Well, John McKenzie was my teacher in Scripture before my ordination. I had him for 2 years or 4 semesters in biblical studies. I disagreed with what he was teaching me in class. That's before my ordination. So, his assignment was always 2 term papers each semester. So religiously I wrote 10 or 12 page term paper twice each semester. Each one of my term papers I disagreed with my teacher and explained for his benefit where I thought he was wrong. Father Hardy hasn't changed over the years. But to his credit, Father McKenzie, he would give me a good grade. Then he would write another paper refuting me. Thanks for the question.
Is tattooing your body sinful? Does Scripture speak of this? If so, where?
Is what?
Is tattooing.
Tattooing. It all depends on the motive. I would say by itself, with tattooing, I could talk for at least a half an hour about tattooing. For most people, I don't think they realize what they're doing. So God has mercy on their ignorance.
Does ear piercing fall under the same rule?
Does what?
Ear piercing.
No, that's another category. There, of course, the motive is to add, oh, by the way, do men really hear hearing aids nowadays too? Some under, don't they? It's supposed to add, I guess, to the beauty of a person. We define beauty as that which attracts on being seen. I know I'm talking to the right audience. I think I should say this. If you say ear piercing, I think I must say it. I think it is stupid, but not necessarily sinful.
Would it be beneficial to have the three-book volume by Fathers Leslie Rumble and Charles Carty?
You mean the... What's the title?
The three-book volume.
Radio Replies.
Radio Replies.
It would be useful, yes. Well, the many things have come up since they wrote those books. And I have exactly 5 o'clock. How many more questions?
About 10 more.
Well, that's up to you. I might have cut the class shorter. Now, what if we do this? If it's agreeable with you, let's take 10 more minutes. But you may leave anytime you wish. Let's take 10 more minutes. See how many we can answer in 10 minutes.
A church in Bay City has had perpetual Eucharistic devotion for over 10 years. Why doesn't canon law allow this more explicitly?
Well, canon law surely encourages it, but this is where the bishops have so much power nowadays, and this is where Holy See keeps telling me, get to the bishops, get to the bishops. And all of you lay people, whatever you can do to persuade your bishops, and do read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Use all the strategy at your disposal.
Why did the church change from Greek to Latin language, and when?
Well, it changed already in the first century, for the obvious reason that the language of the Roman Empire was Latin. Moreover, as I think I've said on a previous occasion, there are three major cultures that have contributed to the shaping of Christianity. Judaism provided, as we know, so much. The foundations of our faith are Judaism. Christ himself came from Judaism. Secondly, the Greek provided the philosophy, the thinking part of Christianity. And Latin provided the structure of Christianity. Every single diocese in the Catholic Church was originally a province of the Roman Empire. The legal structure of the Roman Empire became the format for the structure of the Catholic Church as an institution.
Who can we vote for next month? I will not vote for Clinton.
And I would recommend being asked this question. I think Durrell and Kemp, I would say, are in conscience votable candidates. And the moral basis is the lesser of two evils. Moreover, if you vote for another candidate, you are then depriving Dorian Kemp of the prospect of being elected. Because I'm sure you know from the media are convinced that Clinton will be reelected. But God help America if Clinton and his wife are reelected.
Father, were you able to ask Father Fessio about his teaching that the Eucharist and the mystical body are the same?
No, I haven't. Now, I would say this, though. If we'd be one of the person who submitted this question before and now, where in Father Fessio's either writing or things that he's published, where is there this kind of statement, because I would need this. I must say that it escaped my memory. I would very much appreciate if someone would give me a source. Father Fessio and I are good friends. I would very much want to discuss this with him. I'd like to know where this occurs.
What was the church view on a hermit lifestyle when it denied them Holy Eucharist? And how could this be beneficial?
We deny them the Holy Eucharist. Well, the church as church has never been against, well, the aromatical life. Now, hermits, like anybody else, can go off base. So, when the Blessed Sacrament was denied, it would be because of their practice in other things, that the mind of, say, the bishop, they did not deserve to receive Holy Communion. The aromatical life has to, aromatical life has always been praised and encouraged by the church.
Father, how about teaching a class which synthesizes what you see to be the 10 gravest errors in the church today? We need your insight into the reasons for all the confusion.
10 gravest?
10 gravest.
Gravest?
Gravest errors in the church today.
Okay, I'll be very happy. Maybe November the 3rd, and bring your friends. I'll pick out what I consider the 10 gravest errors. Somebody would remind me by next Sunday to be sure.
Do you think, or do you agree, that the abandonment of faith is due to the changes in the Mass, which today has lost its sense of mystery and sacredness in many parishes?
No. It's certainly not contributed. So many Catholics, and even those who are not, say, Lefebvreites, or sympathetic with the Lefebvreite movement. The behavior of some priests at Mass, and you know what I'm talking about, has certainly turned off many otherwise good Catholics from even attending Mass. But I don't think that's the main reason.
An article in Friday's Detroit News features a story of a married priest, a convert from the Episcopal faith. Many people take this as a sign of the church allowing married clergy in the future. Please explain.
No. The present Holy Father has made the concession, which, by the way, has been made over the centuries, for example, among the Eastern churches, the Orthodox, who, as I've said, have a married clergy. Over the centuries, popes have allowed converts from those once dissident churches, their priests, to become Catholic and then live with their wives and families. However, what the church does, one of two things, either limits the permission to marry just to those men and no one else, or then requires that they form their own, you might say, branch of the Roman Catholic Church, which may have a married clergy, like some of the Uniate Russian churches. But in time, celibacy becomes obligatory. And I've been working with Anglican clergy for years, including, I think I've told you on one occasion, a bishop came to me about 10 o'clock at night, talked to me way after midnight. He wanted to become a Catholic, but before the present Holy Father, permission was not given.
Who are the Catholic, looks like Puthers, is it, of the English literature? Publishers. Who are the Catholic publishers of the English literature?
I think it's, as I said before, I think it's Singer. I'll investigate during the next week, and hopefully we'll come up with a full answer.
Okay. Please explain why, when a pope in the 3rd or 4th century signed a letter or document which was not true, only after imprisonment and torture, later retracting it, would not unqualify infallibility.
No, first of all, that story needs a lot of clarification. But, in other words, if he did in fact, sign that under duress, if he did, then he would not, of course, have given his own consent to it. Because clearly, the Pope must teach. If he teaches infallibly, must be teaching with his own free will. And consequently, that would not deny papal infallibility. The question is whether he did, in fact, sign it. That's a big question mark. Can we finish? Shall we pray?
Christmas, blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us to thee.
O Mother, blessed are you, the teacher. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send upon you and your family, and remain with you forever. God bless you, pray for me, in my prayer.